translation commentary by Srila Prabhupada. Canto 1 of Creation, Chapter 17, Punishment and Reward of Kali, Text 41. I brought, do you have this in the gift shop? Yeah, it's great. Narayani Mataji, Prabhupada told her, he gave her a specific instruction. You should study Srimad Bhagavatam and teach it to others. She's taken it to heart. You know, she's one of the best teachers of Bhagavatam in ISKCON Vrindavan, VIAT, and she has these study guides, these pictorial study guides. We're nearing the end of this chapter, and I looked at her study guide for the whole chapter, and I thought it'd be fun to just to read the little, you know, the little, what do you call them? Ditties, little poems for each verse. They're really short. So, to give us an overview, just to remind us, you know, when you look at each verse, it's like a tree in the forest, but sometimes you miss the forest for the trees. So, what should I do first? I think we'll do the overview first, just to reorient us to where we are in the Bhagavatam. So chapter 17 is the punishment and reward of Kali. Yeah, we're getting a little echo, a little reverb.
Kali,
Goswami. Alright. So here's how the whole chapter sounds in free verse. Alright. Chapter 17, part 1. She divides it into parts. So we're in part 2, but just to do the whole chapter. Parikshit saw a Shudra, a low class man, beating cow and bull with a club in his hand. The bull was white and completely pure. He was terrified and stood with one leg on the floor. He trembled in fear and urinated because of being beaten and intimidated. The Shudra beat the cow, who was helpless for sure. She cried, wanting grass. She was calfless and poor. Parikshit, on his chariot with arrows and bow, spoke to the Shudra in a voice deep and low.
Who are you, daring to kill helpless cattle who've done no ill? You're dressed like a king, but don't demonstrate Kshatriya Dharma unless you deviate. Beating innocent creatures is certainly not right. You do this when Arjuna, Krishna were out of sight. Now you must be punished for doing such a thing. I condemn you to death, since I'm a pious king.
Please, tell me who you are, to the bull, Parikshit said. Are you in fact a bull or a demigod instead? You're colored like a lotus of pure white hue. You're moving on one leg. I grieve for seeing you. As an unprotected beast, you're crying grief-laden tears. Until today, the Kuru's arms allayed all creatures' fears. Oh, Surabhi, son, lament no more. No more fear need you endure.
I am the king, and here and now I'll protect you and also the cow. This wretched man who is violent terrified others and is a miscreant. My duty as king is to cut him down, or else I'm not worthy of my royal crown.
The bull he questioned repeatedly, calling him son of Surabhi. He asked who had cut off three of his limbs and said there was no one as unhappy as him. O bull, you're offenseless and honest all through. Therefore I wish you all goodness. I wish all goodness to you. Please tell who's done this mutilation. Who spoils the Pandava's reputation? For those who cause the offenseless being's harm, for them I'll be the source of fear and alarm. When one curbs down dishonest miscreants, one benefits automatically offenseless innocence. Even if a demigod is an offender, I'll punish he who harms the innocent and tender. The king's topmost duty is to protect righteous men and punish deviant persons who needlessly sin. The personality of religion thus did opine, your words are befitting one in Pandu's line. Devoted to the Lord were the Pandavas' hearts. Krishna served as messenger to them, playing prince's parts. Oh, greatest human, it's difficult to ascertain which particular miscreant has caused our pain. There are many opinions and philosophies, thus we are bewildered by such as these. Someone says that nature is the ultimate cause. Others think that action is the underlying force. Some would say the self gives sadness and distress. Others say that devas rule with all power and prowess. Yet others say we cannot know or even less express, nor speculate or theorize what causes happiness. Please think this over and try to find some sense in all these views by your own intelligence. Having heard thus from Dharma, the king was satisfied. Without regret, unerringly, Maharaj replied,
O person of religion who are in bull's beastly shape,
of the criminal and his witness neither will escape. They're both caught in the sphere of material thought, and miss seeing his hand, quite as they ought. Of the Lord's vast energy, no one can conceive to speculate or estimate, or enlightenment receive. Now, part two. This is where we are in part two. Almost, let's see, it's four verses from the end. So this is still Parikshit addressing Bull.
In Satya, the age of truthfulness, your forelegs were strong, but you lost them one by one as time went along. Intoxication, woman-hunting, and false pride, these vices covered men as Kali increased his stride.
On truth's leg, you are hobbling around. On truth's one leg, you are hobbling around, and Kali's deceit is bringing you to the ground. When the personality of God had walked on the earth, he unburdened the earth with acts of ultimate worth. Now the earth is forsaken, with tears in her eyes, overtaken by demons planning wicked enterprise. Religion in the earth, Parikshit pacified and took up his sword to make sure that Kali died. When Kali saw that Parikshit would strike him dead, he removed his royal dress and bowed down his head. As Kali bowed down and offered his surrender, Parikshit did not kill him, although he was offender. Parikshit then told him he was safe from a sudden end, but said, please leave the state, as you are irreligion's friend. If Kali can act as authority, then irreligion will abound. Quarrel, misfortune, and treachery will spread all around. To remain where devotees serve the Lord, for this you are not fit. As you are irreligion's best friend, now you must exit. Demigods are worshipped as the Lord's via media, who is the only welfare giver for sacrificial procedure. The supersoul of everyone, the Lord to all places, goes, for he exists like the air, which very freely flows. Being ordered by the king, Kali began to quake. He saw the king like Yamaraj, and thus he spake. Quote, although I may live under the order of your command, I'll see your bow and arrows wherever I go in this land. Where can I stay? Please fix up a place under the protection of your royal grace. The king, thus hearing Kali's petition to live in sinful places, he gave him permission. Wherever there is gambling or prostitution, intoxication or animal killing, live in that institution. Kali then begged for one place more. The king said to stay where gold was stored. In any place where people stock gold, evils such as greed are what you behold. Maharaj Parikshit thus directed Kali to live in five places selected. And this is a few lines about today's verse. And then I'll just finish. There's just a few more rhymers. If progressive well-being you desire, avoid the four vices, which have consequences dire, especially if you're a leader or have a public role. Avoid irreligion, or you will pay the toll. Thereafter, by the king, religion's legs were restored, and the earth was improved, with Kali no longer abroad. Thus, Parikshit rules the kingdom with all success, coming in Yudhisthira's family of kings with great prowess. By his expert administration, sacrifices can be done, for so great and experienced is Abhimanyu's son. Isn't that sweet? This is Narayani Mataji's meditation on Srimad Bhagavatam per Prabhupada's order. She did what Prabhupada wanted her to do. Learn Srimad Bhagavatam, he told her, and teach others. So she's doing it beautifully and firing us up. Okay, so then we'll do the verse.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Personality of Godhead, from our respectful obeisances unto you. 1:17:41. Atayitanina seveta.
Atayitanina seveta.
Bhubhushu purusha kvachit.
Bhubhushu purusha kvachit.
Visheshato dharmashilo.
Visheshato dharmashilo.
Raja lokapatir guru. Word for word, ata. Therefore, etani.
Etani.
All these.
Never.
Seveta.
Seveta.
Come in contact.
Pubushu.
Those who desire well-being.
Purushaha.
Person.
Kvachit.
In any circumstances. Visheshataha. Specifically. Dharmashilaha. Those who are on the progressive path of liberation. Raja. The king. Lokapati.
The public leader.
Guruhu.
The
Brahmanas and the Sannyasis. Translation. This is Parikshit Maharaj. Oh no, it's Sudha Goswami. Sudha Goswami is addressing the sages. Therefore, whoever desires progressive well-being, especially kings, religionists, public leaders, Brahmanas and Sannyasis, should never come in contact with the four above-mentioned irreligious principles. Please repeat. Therefore, whoever desires progressive well-being, especially kings, religionists, public leaders, Brahmanas and Sannyasis,
should never come in contact
with the four above mentioned irreligious principles. Srila Prabhupada's purport. The Brahmanas are the religious preceptors for all other castes. And the Sannyasis are the spiritual masters for all the castes and orders of society. So also are the king and the public leaders who are responsible for the material welfare of all people. The progressive religionists and those who are responsible human beings or those who do not want to spoil their valuable human lives should refrain from the principles of irreligiosity, especially illicit connection with women. If a Brahmana is not truthful, all his claims as a Brahmana at once become null and void. If a sannyasi is illicitly connected with women, all his claims as a sannyasi at once become false. Similarly, if the king and the public leader are unnecessarily proud or habituated to drinking and smoking, certainly they become disqualified to discharge public welfare activities. Truthfulness is the basic principle for all religions. The four leaders of the human society, namely the sannyasis, the Brahmin, the king, and the public leader, must be tested crucially by their character and qualification. Before one can be accepted as a spiritual or material master of society, he must be tested by the above-mentioned criteria of character. Such public leaders may be less qualified in academic qualifications, but it is necessary primarily that they be free from the contamination of the four disqualifications, namely gambling, drinking, prostitution, and animal slaughter. Not a straight-line Swami, Professor Basham said. He's the only one who told it as it is. Srila Prabhupada ki? Om Agyana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Yulitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurudev Namaha Atai Tanyena Seveta Babushu
Purusha Kvachit Visheshato Dharma Shiro Raja Lokapati Guruhu.
So this verse and purport remind me of one of the we did that lesson, finding your mission in the mission, and then we came to the point where we realized to do that in Kali Yuga because we're all, you know, mixed up because of our lack of samskaras, lack of qualification. We concluded that we needed help. So the first slide after that was a heavy verse from Lord Vishabhadev. Anybody raise your hand if you remember the verse. Yeah, guru and associate. Yeah. You shouldn't become a guru. Pita and associate. You should become a father or a mother. Svajani and associate. You should become a demigod, a worshiper, what is it, a teacher. Any, you shouldn't have, unless you can deliver your dependence from repeated birth and death, you shouldn't pretend to be giving shelter. Vridhananda Maharaj tells the story how, I forget the context now. It might have been just after he took sannyas. Anyway, at some point in his relationship with Prabhupada, Prabhupada said to him, if I knew the context, it would be more powerful, but anyway, he said, if I put my lead, this Prabhupada said to Vridhananda Maharaj, if I put my head on your lap and you cut my head off, it is the greatest sin. In other words, if I take shelter of you, and you betray me, you know, in the ultimate sense, you kill me. You know, that's the greatest sin. So, just by participating in Srila Prabhupada's movement, we're being trained to give shelter to others. That's what we're being trained to do. We're being trained to receive shelter as students, and then to grow up and give it. So that's a big responsibility. And it's a big... it's a big deal. Did I mention how Prabhupada introduced the regulative principles in the seminar? It's a great example of how Prabhupada was empowered to do it. I think I did mention at one point. Anyway, you know, the Gaudiya Mutha sannyasis trying to preach, but they were pretty much appalled by what they were encountering. You know, that incident with the Lord, the Marquis of Jhelum, saying, Swamiji, can you make me a Brahmin? Oh, sure. And he said this to one of, you know, the Prabhupada's godbrothers. And then so just follow these principles. No intoxication, no illicit sex, no meat-eating, no gambling. And the response was?
Impossible.
Impossible. Now, that's how this particular sannyasi tried to introduce the regulative principles. How did Prabhupada do it? Didn't I mention this? Yeah. Okay, I'll repeat it. He conducted at least two or maybe three initiations before he even introduced these principles as hard and fast rules, because he knew the principles had to come from us. He knew we had to want to know more. So finally, Wali, who became Umapati, approached Swamiji on November 24th, 1966. We know because the next day we have the document, what Prabhupada produced in writing. Swamiji, are there any rules to this group, this club? This, you know, not a clue that it was a mission at that point, right? It was just a fun thing. It was the guys and Swamiji. And there was one girl, Jenna. So Prabhupada's response?
Very good one. Very good one.
You know, very, you know, it's like I thought you'd never ask, you know. Because Prabhupada was empowered by Rupa Goswami to know how to do it. And Rupa's highest principle is Yena tena prakarena mana krishna nishevaya sarve siddhi nishev nishevhasyo etayore makinkaraham. Somehow or other, just get people to chant Hare Krishna, all the rules and regulations of the Shastras are maidservants of this principle. Get them to chant Hare Krishna. That's the higher taste. Krishna is Nama Chintai, Krishna is his name. He always is, but especially that's how he was right. So then you have the next day, November 25th, 1966, it's posted in a lot of temples. I was in Ljubljana, Slovenia, and there it was in a frame. You know, it was like a painting. It's Prabhupada's handwritten, dated November 25th, 1966. All initiated devotees must, and then he says, avoid the same activities Parikshit Maharaj is talking about, Sudha Goswami. And then furthermore, you must avoid unnecessary sporting and intimately associating with non-devotees. It's like a little preview of the Hari Bhakti Vilas, and it's kind of a Vaishnava guide. But Prabhupada, empowered by Rupa, knew that we had to want it. So that's a real lesson in how to introduce Krishna consciousness. Okay, we couldn't, you know, we're being asked to not only receive these matchless gifts, you know, there's always dakshin, right? So what's the dakshin? We have to give shelter to others. You can't just take it and hoard it. And that's called what? Kripana, right? Brahmana means liberal. So it's a big, big responsibility when we actually realize, oh, yeah, I've been, you know, taking for 43 years, and now maybe I should give back. Mm-hmm. Of course, we're doing that anyway, just by participating. But you realize more and more what you have to do. You know, ultimately, you have to be a shelter giver. So, the distinction here, interesting distinction between Brahmanas and Sannyasis. So, Brahmanas are called learned people, but the essence of learning is being truthful. In Prabhupada's time with us, probably the most impressive book distribution party was what we used to call in America the library party. You've probably heard about this. Have you heard of it? No? Okay. Maybe you've heard about it, yeah. So in 1974, Satsarupa Maharaj approached Srila Prabhupada with an idea that we can take your books to libraries. You know, school libraries, public libraries, anywhere there's a library, we can introduce your books. And it'd be a very effective way to distribute books because people who are attending institutions of higher learning and people who like to read, they tend to be, you know, cut above the rest, and they tend to be shreshtas, you know, yadyada charati shreshtas. They tend to be the best of human society. So Prabhupada liked that. Because you see in letters, Prabhupada saying, yes, one student in the university is worth 100 men on the street. You know, so he really wanted to go after the intelligent class, as he put it, relatively speaking. So once I was in New Vrindavan, and it was after the library party, but going around to schools, universities. And by the way, the best distributor on the library party was, does anybody know? Raise your hand. Yes, Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, he was the best. I mean, they were all good. But my godbrother Gokulananda Prabhu in Montreal tells a story of how they were in France. And Gokulananda speaks French because he's French-Canadian. And so Bhakti Tirtha Swami, he was the teammate of Bhakti Tirtha Swami. And so Bhakti Tirtha Swami said, well, you speak the language, why don't you make the presentation this time, you know. So he did. Gokulananda Prabhu. He was in a professor's office and he was giving it his best, you know, it was really, but he could see the professor didn't really care. He was kind of restless, looking around. But then Gokulananda said he noticed that he kept looking over Gokulananda's shoulder at Ghanashyam, as Bhaktivedanta was called in those days. He was fascinated by this person. You know, they were wearing wigs and suits and ties. And he kept saying, he kept looking at Ghanashyam. And so so he, at the end of his pitch, the professor said, "No, I'm not interested in the books, but who is your friend here?" And then Ghanashyam, didn't speak the language, but somehow he, I guess Gokulananda translated, yeah, and he spoke. And he was so impressive that the professor just made a standing order. "Okay, I want all the books you have and all the books that are coming," you know. So it was a very potent party. And once when the party was at New Vrindavan and I happened to be visiting too, I asked one of the brahmacharis who were at the party, I said, "Boy, it must be great. You know, I'm out there slugging it out with the, you know, Joe Sixpack on the street." That's what we call him in America. And, you know, the average Joe on the street who drinks beer and the whole thing. And you people are, you know, approaching the cream of society. And so... And so the brahmachari just rolled his eyes and said, "Prabhu, you'd be surprised. These people are the lowest of the low. Because they're presenting themselves as professors, but actually their personal lives are abominable." Because they share with them, you know, what they're up to, what they're doing. So it's just what, you know, it's just the opposite. The Vedic understanding of a learned person is just the opposite of the modern bluff. You know, the Maya or the Jnana, who has a lot of information, but whose personal life is very often, you know, not in order. But that's actually really learned. What's Chanakya Panda's, who knows, what's Chanakya Panda's definition of a learned person? Raise your hand.
You see, not his possessions are still in the street.
I mean, his possessions, right.
And
okay, here's the verse. Matrivat paradareshu paravyam reshu nostravat atmavat sarvabhuteshu yappam pashyati sapandita. Chanakya was an interesting character. He was not actually even a Vaishnava, but he was smart, he was wise, he was a Brahmavadi actually, and he was the advisor to especially Maharaj Chandragupta, and he walked his talk. He just lived in a hut, so he wasn't dependent on royal opulence. He wasn't like a professional, you know, guy taking salary like that. So he was detached. So he said, "Matrivat paridareshu." One who sees all ladies as his mother. Paramram yeshtra lostavat. Others' possession is no more valuable than lostra, than stones, you know, debris in the street. Atmavat sarvabhuteshu, who treats others as he would be treated. We say the golden rule, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Yam pashyati sa pandita. That's a learned person. That's a pandit. So just see how the Vedic, you know, presentation of learning is all based on character. And then Prabhupada, sometimes they tell the stories of Satyakam, you know, Satyakam from the Gautam Upanishad. Gautam Muni, he's a Muni, and some a young boy approaches him to, he wants to be, "Can you make me a, you know, your disciple? I want to be a great sage, a Brahmin like you." So Gautam Muni says, "Well, I don't train people. This is in Vedic times. It's called Vaidik Vidhan. He wants to make sure the samskaras are okay, so he's at least eligible. You know, we don't follow that. We follow what's called Diksha Vidhan. We don't, because the samskaras are out the window in Kali Yuga, therefore the way we become purified is taking shelter of a pure devotee, following his disciplines, and we can become restored to our natural positions. Yatha kanchana cham jati kamsam rasa vidhanatah Tata diksha vidhanena dvijatvam jayate vina. This is Sanatana Goswami, Sari Bhakti Vilas. Just as base metal, bell metal, can be transformed into gold by an alchemical process, so a base gross person can be restored, transformed into a pure devotee of the Lord by following the bhakti process, beginning with diksha, you know, actual diksha, initiation by a bona fide spiritual master. So Gautama Muni said to Satyakam, boy, so who is your father? I do not know who my father is. Go ask your mother. So she asked, he went to his mother, and his mother said, oh, my dear son, I have known so many men in this life, I don't really know who your father is. So Satyakam went back to Gautama Muni and said, I do not know who my father is. Gautama said, that's okay, you're a Brahmin, you told the truth. You weren't ashamed of that. You know, you just told the truth. You were open, transparent. So that's Brahmana. Samodamakta pashto cham kshanti rajadameva cham jnana vijnana mastikyam bhambukarma svabhav. Austerity, truthfulness, self-control, purity, talents, wisdom, honesty and religiousness, these are the qualities by which, you know, really learned people work. What's a learned person? What's the humble sage verse in the Gita? You know that? The humble sage. I'll tell you how I taught it to my daughter. When I was homeschooling my daughter, when we were homeschooling our daughter, I turned the verses into little rhymes like Jaraini did. Yeah. Radhika, Radhika, listen to this. The humble sage is by knowledge true. You know the verse? Vidya vanaya sampanne ramane gavihasti shuri chaiva svapakecha pandita samadarshana. The humble sage by virtue of true knowledge sees with equal vision a learned and gentle Brahman, a dog, an elephant, a dog eater, outcast. So sometimes you gotta edutain them when they're small, right? She's like 8 years old. Hey, Radhika, listen to this. The humble sage is by knowledge true, with equal vision see me and you, as like a Brahman, a dog and cow, an elephant and a dog eater. Wow. Oh, that's neat, Peter. Let's do another verse. So, you know, preaching really means we have to go right where the people live, you know, right where they are, and lead them by the hand to Krishna, step by step. The most compassionate example I know, maybe because it's funny too, because I love humor, but Prabhupada was in Detroit, Michigan. The opening of the Detroit Temple, Davis Sadan Mandir, and it's a former mansion of an auto baron, one of the auto aristocracy people, you know, who started the whole auto industry. Larry Lawrence P. Body by Fisher. On every car, there used to be a little insignia, Body by Fisher. He made his fortune in auto body. So the Hare Krishnas bought his former mansion, which he built in 1927. It cost him $1 million. That's, you know, you can imagine the value now, right? And Prabhupada got it for $300,000 cash in 1975. And as he toured the building, he confided to the devotees, every room is worth the price that we paid. And he didn't have a penny. He said to the realtor, so we are monks, so you kindly give the building to us. You just don't say that, you know, to real estate people. And the lady nearly fainted. And she turned to her colleague and said, he can't say that.
kindly, we are monk.
So Prabhupada finally offered her 300,000 cash. So anyway, the grand opening came. Much, you know, Ambarish spent $1 million fixing up the place because it had been, you know, neglected and abandoned for a long time. So the grand opening, and who shows up? And they actually invited all the auto aristocracy of Detroit. you know, this is the big aristocracy of cars. This is where, you know, the internal combustion engine was turned into an automobile and mass produced by Henry Ford. So on management side, all these, you know, big wigs came. I mean, people would never get within 100 miles of Hare Krishna temple, you know, with their furs and their pearls and their diamonds, they'll call it strolling in, you know. And then also beside Ambarish had joined, he was, you know, he was the celebrity from management side. So on labor, on the labor union side, also a lady named Lisa Ruther, you probably never heard of her, but she was the daughter of a great labor leader in America. She had joined too. His name was Walter Ruther. He was like the Gandhi of the American labor movement, very austere, strong guy, and got management to give the laborers, you know, a decent wage. And anyway, so it was big news in Detroit that, you know, a Ford and a Ruther had joined the Hare Krishna movement, you know, labor and management, and it was great for the devotees. Yes, see how we can reconcile all opposites and difference, and it's for everybody. And so anyway, so these people, they come, and there's pictures of this, and there's tapes, there's this recording of these people coming in to have darshan of Prabhupada. And some of them are even sitting on the floor, you know, and they're sitting in chairs, but some of them, you see them, you know, in their black tie suits and, you know, their tails, and they're sitting on the floor listening to Prabhupada. So how do you even approach these people? So this is a good example. Prabhupada, you know what he did for the first 15, 20 minutes of the whole conversation? He started talking about his old Buick automobile. Buick is a brand of car. And he didn't personally drive it. He was the pharmaceutical salesman. He had an assistant, you know, drive the car. But he was talking about his old 1925 Buick and all the problems it had. You know, and this problem and then that problem. And you know, everybody in the auto industry knows they build these cars to break. You know, it's called planned obsolescence. It wasn't like that for the first 4 years. And then they noticed they weren't selling cars anymore because everybody had a car. So they we're going to build these to break, you know, to wear out. So they did. Called planned obsolescence. You know, it's typical cheating. So Prabhupada's talking about all the, you know, the carburetor this and the engine and the brakes, and he just has them laughing so hard, you know, about all the problems with the car. The joke about Ford is F-O-R-D, fix or repair daily, that's what it stands for. Not like that anymore. I mean, they make them better now because of the Japanese made them. You know. They have a competition. So Prabhupada just has them rolling and laughing, you know, because they know that cars, you know, break, and they build them to break, and, you know. And then, just at the teachable moment, when he has them in the palm of his hands, laughing and very comfortable, they know that he's a regular person, he's talking to them about what they know about cars. And then he says, so,
this body is like a car.
This body is like, and then he just gives them the whole Upanishadic metaphor. You know, the horses are like the senses, or now horsepower, you know, horses are like the senses, the reins are like the mind, the driver's like the intelligence, the passenger's like the soul. And they got it. They understood. Because Prabhupada had the wisdom and the compassion to go where they were and lead them step by step to Krishna. Now what they did afterwards, I don't know, but at least they understood the concept, and so they really appreciated Prabhupada's preaching. So now that I haven't touched any of the points in the verse in the purport, and Mother Urmila would be scolding me like anything, Sureshwar, you have to give the passage, you give the content of the passage, and you have to understand, you have to tell them the underlying principle, and you have to personalize it how it applies in your lives. And then you have to, what is it? Passage, principle, oh, and persuade. Personalize, persuade, perform. She's a great educator. Has she been here?
Yes.
Yeah, she's great. You know, she's a born teacher. And then now she's got a PhD in educational philosophy. And she said, were you always a teacher, Irmila? And she said, well, when I was in kindergarten, the teacher told my mother that Edie is a very nice girl. Edie's a very nice girl. The only problem is she thinks she's the teacher. So that's a bored teacher, right?
Sorry.
All right, I actually have to get going in 2 minutes and take prasadam. So, are you scratching your head? Do you have a question? Because I'm going to give you 120 seconds for a question and answer. Because I have to get to, it's an international flight, so, and Jetstar, you know, they get you in with these low fares and then they kill you with all these details, right? You know Jetstar. So I've got to play their game to the T, or else they're going to murder me. So, any questions or comments? It's been really fun to be here. Perth was good. New Govardhan was better. Melbourne was the best. You were the best audience. I mean, you were so responsive. It was Krishna. It was so kind. This is the best tour I've had so far. Okay. So really, it's all about character. I guess I did touch on that. You know, it's really, that's how we become advanced. Yeah. Any questions or comments? How to have good character. Yeah, we have to want to have good character. We have, and then that takes us into association of good character, and that purifies our desire further, so we want better character. It's an upward spiral, as we said in the seminar. Yeah. I'm finally understanding these things after so many years. Now that Prabhupada's got me on it, you know, he's got me teaching. So I gotta be good. I can't be a cheater. Teacher and cheater, same letters in those words, they're anagrams. You just rearrange the letters and you get the same thing. Yeah. So one is good and one is bad. We have to practice what we preach, walk our talk, get a higher taste. Okay. 15, 14, 13, 12. Anyway, thank you for your kind attention. I pray I can come back in January. I'm going to be in New Zealand anyway. Devaki Maharaj wants to do the seminar for his end of the year seminar, and then Kala Sambhara says then you can do a tour, and by mid-Jan I'll be free. So I'll probably come back and do Sydney and Adelaide, I think. Maybe stop here, I don't know. It's up to Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.